Hey, next week is Meet the Pastors luncheon, so you're going to see a bunch of tables set up here, and Chef Leo will not be preparing the food, just leaving us a week. You're going to be here? Maybe you are preparing the food. I thought they were leaving, but we might get them one more week. But if you're signed up for Meet the Pastors, that's happening right after church next Sunday. We'll be communicating with you. If you're new and haven't been to the link, make sure you go to the link today after church. Just in the lobby, take a left and sign up for Meet the Pastors. And we always have a great time there. Free food, and we talk about the church and what we're doing, and you get a chance to ask questions. It's a great time. So looking forward to that. Hey, today, Keys to the Kingdom number 6, and we're talking about kingdom priorities. Last week, we were supposed to be at the park, but we were here and just had a good time last week. I loved that. Arby preached 2 weeks ago. If you did not listen to Arby's sermon, go online and listen to it. Ask for a CD for $2. They'll make you a CD back there. You need to listen to that. What an amazing message that RB did. Loved it. I've listened to it 2 or 3 times already, and we'll probably listen to it a couple more times. So today we're talking about kingdom priorities, keys to the kingdom. How does this Christianity thing work? What are we supposed to do? What is the kingdom of God like? Jesus told lots of different parables of the kingdom of God's like this, the kingdom of God's like this. And last week we talked about the value a little bit. We talked a little bit about the pearl of great price and how that person saw the value and sold out in order to get the kingdom. And today we're just talking about priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we have the Lord's Prayer. Did you notice the word kingdom in some of the songs we sang today? Yeah, I've noticed that as I was thinking about this and listening to that. But the disciples asked Jesus, "Would you teach us how to pray?" And this was what he taught them. And verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And you can read the rest of that, but I just wanted you to think about, as we begin this message, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just like it's done in heaven. The kingdom of God, if you've looked into the Bible and saw the teachings about the future, what's the kingdom of God going to be like in the future when it is only the kingdom of God, when everything else has been removed that's evil and adversarial? All of that's removed, and the only thing left is the kingdom of God. We have the millennial 1,000-year reign there towards the end of time, and then we have a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be established. And both of those things are when the kingdom of God comes, and this is what life will be like when the kingdom comes. So I'm thinking, God, Jesus, why did you want us to pray that? And the easy answer is, when the kingdom of God is with us, upon us, in us, around us, life is amazing. Jesus wants us to pray and to think about the kingdom of God is what you want. And the kingdom of God is amazing and beautiful and marvelous, and it's everything you're looking for, the kingdom of God. And we should pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. When we pray that, he makes us part of the answer to the prayer, doesn't he? He says, "I'm glad you prayed that, Kelly, because I'm going to make you a part of the answer to that. I want you to bring my kingdom to the earth. I want you to help my will be done on the earth just like it is in heaven. So I want you to be that." But I wanted us to look into the future as we just begin thinking about this. If you haven't read some of those chapters. It's Isaiah 65 talks a little bit about it. Revelation 21 and 22 talks a little bit about it. There's lots of other verses that talk about it. I just wrote some things down. There is no more poverty when the kingdom of God comes. There's no more war when the kingdom of God comes. Some of those verses say the lamb will lay down with the lion. The wolves will lay down with the lambs. A child can play near a rattlesnake's nest, den, and the snake will never hurt the child. All the adversarial stuff will be gone. Poison oak will not exist anymore. Mosquitoes will not bite you. I mean, there will be no political parties. Woo! Chevys will run well. I mean, when the kingdom of God comes, things are going to be good. No more tears and no more sorrow and no more crying. No more pain. Tylenol and Advil will be out of business. All that will be gone. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, "Would you please pray that my kingdom would come and that my will would be done?" And I want to hasten those days. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? But you know, until that time, we can bring some of the kingdom to earth now. We can. And God really wants us to do that. I was thinking that in the beginning of time, you got to hang out in a garden naked all day. That's all they did, you know? I don't know if you think that would be fun or not. Depends on who else is in the garden. Or there's no sticker bushes, so that'd be better. I don't know. But God even says that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard and it hasn't even entered into your heart everything good that I have prepared for you in my kingdom. So when I'm thinking about what the kingdom of God's going to be like when it's fully established, man, I want that. And then when Jesus starts telling me, pray the kingdom comes now. We've talked already about, he said, the kingdom of God's within you right now. Right now. All of that amazing stuff that we talked about, it's in you. Really? Really, Lord? The peace is inside of me. The ability to overcome tears and pain and sorrow is inside of me. Comfort, and Chevy's running good. All of that stuff's inside of me. I mean, all good stuff, it's inside of me. Yeah, it's right inside of you. I'm with you. I'm with you. God really wants us to experience his amazing kingdom. See, Jesus died on a cross so we could experience the kingdom of God. Not just someday in the sweet by and by, but today too. Today too. God wants you and I to have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven with. He wants us to experience some of that now. I've been reading in 2 Corinthians, I don't know if you guys have or not, but that's our daily Bible reading. And a couple days ago, it talked about the Holy Spirit is the down payment or the earnest payment. Anybody ever buy property where you got to pay earnest? This is your earnest payment. It's like, I'm earnest about buying this property, so here's $1,000. And if I don't follow through and if I bail, you keep my $1,000. Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit that you and I are experiencing and can experience probably to a greater degree than we currently are is his down payment or that earnest payment of great things to come. I highly recommend you get filled with the Holy Spirit. I highly recommend you develop this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and experience the things that he's trying to lead you into. So God wants us to experience his amazing kingdom. I have a bunch of statements and phrases that I'm going to read to you today. They're in your notes too. And you look at the last 2 pages of notes. Oh no, Kelly's going to talk forever today. Well, not forever, but for a little while. Miles Monroe has written a couple books on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I've been studying that for this series, and we're at lesson 6. And we're going to do one on fruitfulness here in 2 weeks. Kelsey's going to teach on fruitfulness, a lesson that she taught in Montana this summer. I was just super impressed at that. That fits really well with a key to the kingdom. So she's going to be teaching that in a couple weeks. That'll be lesson 8. I'll be teaching something else. And I'm just going, man, this could be like forever talking about the keys to the kingdom. So today, I'm going to throw a bunch of concepts at you. And you get to take them home in your notes. But I hope these things stir your heart. When we understand kingdom first, we understand how to live effectively on the earth. There's a lot of people wondering, what am I supposed to do with my life? What's the most important things I'm supposed to make sure I do? How am I supposed to prioritize things? And if you don't decide that, somebody will decide it for you, right? You know what I'm talking about? Even McDonald's wants you to know you deserve a break and you should come to their place and they got something for you. I mean, all these advertisers, they're after you. They're after your money. They're after your time. They're after your loyalty. If you do not set your own priorities, somebody will set them for you. Life will happen. You'll look up and 10 years goes by. It's like I'm at my 10-year class reunion. Oh, my gosh. My kids in third grade. Oh, no. Kindergarten. Oh, no. Graduating high school. Oh, no. My grandkids are grad. How did all of that happen? Life flies by if you're not careful. How do we set priorities? What's the most important thing? And this phrase says, when you understand kingdom first, you understand how to live effectively on the earth. You understand that. I was thinking Jeff and Tori probably could have made more money somewhere besides Kuski, Idaho. I'm just guessing. Just guessing. But they're feeling like there's a priority, there's a kingdom priority. Just from what I've read on your Facebook pages and your messages, there's a kingdom priority. We're happy to have you, by the way. And you're an answer to some of our prayers, so thank God for that. If you're not careful, you won't live effectively. If you're not careful, sin will rule your life. If you're not careful, the enemy will lie to you and you'll believe his lies. And you'll live hurt, jaded, isolated, separated. You'll believe that the negative things you've experienced in the past is all you ever have to look forward to. You'll be fearful. You'll be thinking that everybody's out to get you and everything's bad. If you're not careful, the enemy can drain and suck life out of you if you're not careful. That's why Jesus said, would you pray, my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Will you pray, give us this day my daily bread? Will you pray, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive everybody who's trespassed against me? Would you pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, would you pray those prayers? Because that's how to live effectively. That's important stuff. That's important stuff. And I could spend all day talking about the Lord's Prayer, but I got a lot of other things I wanted to talk about also. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose. Do you have a purpose? Are you living for a purpose? Existing to retire? Probably not the greatest purpose, you know. Praying the Cowboys will beat the 49ers today, probably not the greatest purpose. I mean, I hope they do, but if they don't, it's not going to ruin my life, my day. Probably not the greatest purpose. What purpose are you living for? I'm not living for a purpose. I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm just trying to get my kids raised. I'm just trying to make ends meet. I'm just trying to... You need a bigger purpose than that. You need a bigger priority than that. One of the values here at the Life Center is being a friend to the destiny of others. We're going to start a brand new series here in a few weeks. I'm quite settled on the title, but Discovering Destiny or Chasing Destiny, something like that. We're going to be talking about that this fall. The greatest challenge in life is knowing what to do. There's lots of stuff to do, but knowing what to do, when to do the right thing, how to do it. The greatest mistake in life is being busy but not effective. Yeah, how are you doing? I'm busy. Everybody's busy. Retired people are busy. 6-year-olds are busy. 40-year-olds are busy. Unemployed people are busy. Employed people are busy. People that have 5 jobs are busy. I mean, everybody's busy. But it's terrible to be busy but not effective. It's terrible. The greatest failure in life is being successful in the wrong assignment. What's your assignment from God? What does God want you to do? And I know the enemy is a dream crusher. I know that he wants to steal your assignment. I know that he wants you to think you don't have an assignment. Or if you did someday have an assignment, you have sinned that day away and you don't qualify anymore. You've lost it. And now the best you can hope for is to eke out an existence and hope that he has mercy on you on Judgment Day and lets you in. See, our God is a redeemer. And yeah, the enemy may have guided us down pathways away from our assignment, away from our destiny, away from our purpose. But our God will redeem our life. He will redeem our time. And the greatest waste is to be successful, but not in the right thing. To miss your assignment. Even as a pastor, I have 1,000 things I can do as a pastor. But what is my assignment? All of you have ideas about what I should be doing. Society has ideas about what I should be doing. Kari has a couple ideas about what I should be doing. But I'm really interested in what God's idea is about what I should be doing. Because I want to do as much as I can for as many as I can. But I want to make sure I do my assignment. Finish my course, like Paul said. I finished my race. I kept the faith. I want to be that person. I don't want to be effective but miss the thing that I was really supposed to do. Aligning yourself with God's priorities ensures you're always traveling in the right direction. Man, I have turned around so many times. Go around the block and come back. So many times. Traveling the wrong direction. Even with GPS, even with Siri talking to me, you know. Turn around. You know, you missed your turn. Go back, you know. In life, I've missed a lot of turns. God's really good at helping me U-turn, get back on the right road, and start going back in the right direction. He's really good at that. In Kamiyai on Main Street, they say no U-turns. That's a bummer. Takes a lot longer to get around when I missed where I was going. At Kuski, at least they let you do a U-turn at an intersection. Hallelujah. Not in Kamiyai. You got to go all the way around the block. I think God would let us do a U-turn right on the middle of Main Street if we need to. Just look both ways first. Turn on your blinker, gas it. I don't know. If you're not pursuing the purpose you were born for, then you're pursuing the wrong thing. What are you born to do? Who cares? I'm just trying to eke out an existence. I'm trying to survive. See, that's where the enemy wants us. Just trying to keep our nose above water, trying to pay the mortgage payment. Kids in college, oh, they're going to have to figure that out for themselves, you know. Who's going to pay for my nursing home? That's what I'm worried about. Who's going to change my diaper? Wipe my stuff, yeah. And if we're not careful, we're focused on the wrong priorities, the wrong stuff. We're spending our life, our time, our energy, our money, our talents on all the wrong stuff. Well, I hooked up with the wrong guy. I hooked up with the wrong girl, so I'm just stuck here forever, you know. I moved to the wrong town. I took the wrong job. Whatever. We feel like, and the enemy wants us to feel like, we've lost our way, and we just have to deal with the results that we currently have. But that's not what God says. That's not what God says, not at all. Miles Monroe says this: if food, drink, clothing, money, car, house, and other material things are your priorities, then you're thinking and acting like a pagan, no matter what you claim to believe. Wow. When I read that, I just go, how much time and energy do I spend on that list versus the Kingdom of God list? And I get paid to be good. You guys are good for nothing, but I get paid to be good, right? I get paid to be a pastor. I get paid to be full-time Bible reader, full-time prayer, full-time talking about Jesus person. I get paid for that. And I struggle with that priority. I can't imagine when you're crunching out 60, 80 hours a week and you have all these other things clamoring for your time and attention. And now Kelly Lineberry's telling you to reprioritize your life for the kingdom. You're going, really? I'm going back to the Catholic Church. Yo, did I say that out loud? Or I'm going back to no church. I'm going back to the NFL church or whatever. Doesn't have to, I don't want to pick on churches today. Kingdom first does not mean first among many, but first only. When we were in India, they have hundreds and thousands of gods. And the big challenge of when you get a convert in India is for them to say, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, the only Savior of the world. The only God, and I will forsake all those other ones and serve him only. I will be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a huge thing. Because they don't mind adding Jesus to their list, but they don't want to make him the one and only. And I don't think that's a lot different than America, really. If we're not careful, we don't mind adding Jesus to our list and going to church 1.6 times a month and catching a little bit of something occasionally, but prioritizing? See, I started out by telling you, everything you dream about and everything you want and everything that you think is ideal will happen when the kingdom of God is fully established on the planet. And I hope that translates into your thinking that living life God's way and doing God's will is best for me right now also. And participating in bringing his kingdom to the earth is what I should be prioritizing in my life also. When Jesus tells us, when he says to seek first the kingdom of God, he was telling us to seek first the ownership of God over ourself and everything that we have in life. Do you consider that God owns you? You're not your own. You were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Do you call him Lord and Master? I know that's hard for us Americans. Wow, that's hard for us. Especially North Idahoans. It's really hard for us. It's really hard for us. When you enjoy the favor of the king, you don't have to work for what he gives you. Now, there's a shift. That first set of statements was just causing you to really think about the priority and the value of and the reality of putting God first and his kingdom first. This next set of statements starts talking about what you're looking for, you really automatically get when you give God your whole heart, your whole life. It's hard to convince people about that because the rhetoric that is out there is God's going to take something from you and God's going to reduce you and God's going to hold you down and God's going to minimize you. But when you really read the Bible, when you really understand what the Bible says, you've got to know that God is for you, that he loves you, and all those dreams and passions and desires that he placed inside of you, he knows how to fulfill those better than anything else and anybody else. When you enjoy the favor of the king, you don't have to work for what he gives you. So now we have the king, the wealthy, most powerful, favoring you and giving to you because you're one of his kids. You ever give your kids anything just because they're one of your kids? Anything that you have, or everything that you have just because they're one of your kids? You got a quarter? Here's a quarter. You got a buck? Here's a buck. Can I have a car? Here's a car. You know? You just give. They're your kids. If you're one of God's kids, he loves to give to you. And you don't have to earn it. It's just his favor resting on you because you're his kid. If you stay right with God, he will promote us in every situation we go into. That sounds like you have to earn it. But what it's just talking about is you do end up reaping what you sow. You do end up having consequences. And if you want the best life possible with the best results possible, when you stay right with God and you don't get tricked by the enemy and misprioritize your life, then he promotes you and he gives you the things you're really looking for. When God's favor surrounds us, everything he desires for us will come to pass. I mean, if you had the favor of, think of the most powerful person you think on the planet, you had their favor. Maybe it's a financial, maybe somebody that had all the money in the world, more than what they knew what to do with, and they favored you. Money's no object. I mean, they have $100 billion. And you need 1,000? A million? You know, a million compared to 100 billion is like me pulling a quarter out of my pocket. I don't have a quarter. But it'd be like me if I had a quarter pulling a quarter out of my pocket. It's not a big deal. You need it? Here you go. If you had the favor of the most powerful person that was able to make stuff happen, oh, that ticket you got, you want me to just make it disappear? I can do that because I'm powerful. When God's favor surrounds us, the things that he desires for us will come to pass. The pursuit of things is always the wrong focus. The active, ongoing pursuit of righteousness is the key to access. We talked about, a long time ago, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So if you seek the things, it doesn't work out so well. But if you seek the kingdom, then all the things are added unto you. You guys believe that? Do you live like you believe it? I know I go, some days I do. Other days I kind of want the thing. I know, I feel that myself. There's days that, God, this is kind of taking too long. I'll just go get the thing, thank you. This is Kelly, wait. If you'll seek me first, I'll add all of the things to you. So seek me first. The kingdom of God is the ultimate response to humankind's needs. I love that phrase. I love that sentence. The kingdom of God is the ultimate response to humankind's needs. Everything you need, it's in the kingdom. It's for you. It's given to you. It's provided. We don't need things to have life. We need life to have things. So we're just talking about material things, because if we're not careful, we can get materialistic in America. In Kamei, in Kuski, even in Stites, Harpster, Clearwater. If we're not careful, we could get materialistic. God does not give us things to make us important, but because we are important. You know, if you're a king's kid, he thinks you're pretty important. And you shouldn't find your importance in the things. You should just know that because you are important to God, he doesn't mind giving you things. Things are not blessings. They are byproducts of kingdom citizenship. There should be, I don't know. I think my kids had an expectation that I'd just feed them. I just think they woke up in the morning and they said, what's for breakfast? I still go into mom and dad's house and I open their fridge. And it's just, I'll be 52 in a couple weeks. It never changes. I expect them to feed me. If it's lunchtime and I'm in town, I call them up. Where are we going? I'm expecting them to feed me. Do you expect God to provide for you? I hope you do. Because it's a kingdom thing. It's a citizenship thing. It's a belonging thing. I hope you do that. The kingdom does not operate on works. It operates on favor. Man, if we could just get that into our heart. Priorities. The kingdom of God works on favor. And God favors you. And God loves you. And you're his kid. He has no problem feeding you and taking care of you. He has no problem. When we are about kingdom purpose, our king will supply all the provisions we need to do his job. He just will. He just does that. I know that God's going to provide the provisions for the Y Project, this building out here. I know he's going to provide for the rest of the building we need to build and the development of the property behind and the Loving Hands building. And I just know he's going to provide. It's his vision. It's his work. He's going to provide. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. I mean, we can't just sit on our rear end and see what he does. He's going to use us, but he's going to provide for sure. Provision is a byproduct of obedience. I thought about that. I thought, if I'm not going to do anything anyway, why would he give it to me? I said, well, I gave you that and you never used it, so why would I give you something else? This byproduct of, so Kelly, I'm going to give you this. Will you go do something with that? Use that and go do this with that. Sure, Lord. And then he gives me more because he can trust me. And he gives me more because he can trust me. And so there's this byproduct of obedience that, see, who could I get to do something? Oh, Kelly will. Because Kelly says yes to me. Kelly says yes to me. When you start saying no to God, God quits asking. Anybody not hearing God lately? You might go rewind your life and say, where did I start saying no to him? You know what the solution is? Start saying yes. It's just start saying yes. And when you say yes, man, the provision, the blessing, the next things come. If you're a deceiver, if you're just doing that kind of stuff, it will dry up, man. It will dry up. If you think you're going to do it yourself, you're going to figure it out yourself, you're going to get things yourself, you're going to provide for yourself, and you're not going to trust God and do it His way and obey Him, it dries up. But it doesn't have to dry up. You just start saying yes. You just start setting those priorities right. True wealth is found not in abundance of possessions, but in unlimited access to infinite resources. Man, I thought about that phrase, and I thought, I would like to try the abundance of possessions just to see. I mean, you know, it says, test me and see and try the spirits. I want to try that spirit and see if that's true. But as I thought about it a little more, I thought about, would I want abundance of possessions, or would I want access to infinite resources? I think access to infinite resources is better. Because then whatever I need's on its way. Wherever I'm going, when I'm saying yes to God, and whenever I'm doing, that resource is on its infinite resources. I like that. I like that. Provision is tied to purpose. If you engage the purposes of God, there's going to be a lot of provision coming your way. So engage that. Go ahead and engage that. We have a calling and a responsibility to influence earthly culture with the culture of heaven. Isn't that true? Doesn't our world need thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Don't we need the heavenly culture to come into our homes, to come into our world? I think we do. I need that. I want that. Kingdom culture, servanthood. There's a lot of paradoxes in the word. Anybody notice that? Give and you shall receive. I thought if I kept, I would have. No, it's give and you shall receive. Servanthood. We have verses there in Mark chapter 10 where the disciples are saying, Lord, just give me whatever I ask, okay? You ever have somebody start with that kind of a phrase? Mom and Dad, just say yes, okay? Just say yes. I'm not saying yes until you tell me the question. But that's what they were doing with Jesus. They were saying, just give us what we ask, okay? He goes, what do you want? Because we want positions of preeminence. We want one of us to be on the left and one of us to be on the right when you set on your kingdom in glory. Jesus kind of just shaking his head and saying, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. If you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you'll be a servant. You'll serve people. And he went into a deeper teaching in some other verses where he said, in the world, that's the way things work. People try to get preeminence. People try to climb a ladder. People try to get to the top. And then they want to be served, and then they want to be honored, and then they want to be highly respected and all of that. But he said, in my kingdom, it works differently. If you want to be the greatest, you should become servant of the most people. You guys remember that? I'm not going to read it because I'm way out of time, but it's there in Mark chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, a lawyer said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, what is the scripture says? The scripture says, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this. And Jesus said, that's right, do that. And the lawyer said, who's my neighbor? He said, he's just looking to justify himself. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. There was this fellow that fell among thieves, and they robbed him and they beat him, and he was about to die. And the priest came by, and the Levite came by, and all these supposedly important people came by and they ignored him. But the Samaritan came by and stopped and got off his horse and went down and took care of him, took him to the hospital, paid the bill, left his credit card, and said, whatever the guy needs, give it to him. He said, which one do you think was his neighbor? Which one do you think loved his neighbor? He said, well, probably that dude that took care of him. He said, that's right, go do likewise. Serving. Yeah, but I was busy, I was on an appointment, I was too busy to serve. I know we're busy, I know that, but servanthood really is the key. In John chapter 13, Jesus, before he died, the night before he died, he got a towel and he got water and he knelt down and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. Back in those days, you wore sandals and it was such an act of hospitality to wash somebody's feet and refresh them. It was what servants did. It wasn't what the master of the house did. It was what the servants did to him, usually. But this day, Jesus, creator of heaven and earth, King of kings, Lord of lords, got on his knees with a towel and a wash basin, and he washed their feet. And he said, I am your master, and I am your Lord, and that's true. You rightly say that. And if I wash your feet, you need to go wash each other's feet. And back when I was growing up, we had foot washing services. We got the basin out and the towel out, and we washed athletes' feet and fungus and toe jam off of each other. So would you guys bring in? No, they wouldn't have that today, sorry. But Jesus was really saying, humble yourself and serve each other, because that's what the kingdom is, the priority of doing that. John chapter 21, verse 16, Jesus has died on the cross. He prepared the chef breakfast, bread and fish upon the fire. He looks at Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, yeah, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And he asked him three times, didn't he? So Peter just finally grieved in his heart. Do you love me? God, he finally, maybe I don't. You know all things. You know, he was questioning himself. Do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Man, sometimes I look at the American church and I'm just going, do we love God? I think we love what he did for us and we love the opportunities that he's given. But do we love him enough to prioritize his kingdom to serve other people, to feed sheep, to take care of needs, to wash feet? Galatians 6, 10, 2 and 10, we can read those later also, but bear one another's burdens. Take care of each other. Love each other. So fulfill the law by doing that. Do good to everyone you have an opportunity to do good to. So we're talking about priorities, aren't we? Kingdom priorities. The life that you want, it's being offered to you. But it's disguised in servanthood. It's disguised in humility. You want to be important? God already thinks you're important. He died for you. I don't know how much more important you can get than that. He already thinks you're pretty special. He already thinks you're pretty important. You want to be important? He says, just serve others. You want provision and joy and peace? You want your needs met? Pray that my kingdom will come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom priorities. Amen? Keys to the kingdom. Everything you want is being offered to you. It's just disguised a little bit. Don't be tricked and fooled. Don't be tricked and fooled. Father, we pray today for your Spirit to help us understand this. God, I pray for revelation. I pray for a light to dawn upon us to help us understand. Not just in this moment, sitting in this building or listening to the CD, not just in this moment, but tomorrow and next week and all the days that are ahead of us. Help us see and understand the priority of the kingdom and how that everything we want is wrapped up in loving you and loving others. It's pretty simple. And yet we miss it if we're not careful. God, I pray that those that think they've lost their chance and it's too late would realize that it's not too late and they can be re-engaged into their destiny and their purpose. Lord, I pray that you would help us to really serve each other and really love each other and really honor each other, not just in this room, but in our generation, all around us. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you guys would fill out your Connect cards, ushers are coming right now too. And a couple of things on your Connect cards is I want to get life right. I'm asking God to help me.